podcast edition of Beyond Retro Podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me as always is the Inner Circle, the cult leader, the mob boss himself, the Rotten Amato from Parts Unknown, Ohio. Rotten Amato, Joe Amato. That's your cue to say something.
I'm here.
I've never seen such creativity in an introduction in my life.
You know what's weird? It's like what I was telling
Tyler. It doesn't mean for you to keep talking. I got to get Nathan in here next.
I always forget about Nathan. I do it on Fans of Power, too. That's terrible. Go ahead.
All right. That's okay.
And Nathan Kennedy.
Yeah. That's great. We got the cult leader. We got this together.
And
we got
Nathan. Because Joe just killed my momentum with, you know, hey, that reminds me of a story here, guys. Allow me to project my thoughts here. And Nathan's like, okay.
I'm here and too, Nathan.
He's like, hi, guys. You've seen me for like 5 hours last night. But yeah,
Mr.
That's
Kennedy
the
himself, the greatest Vince McMahon impersonator we've ever seen, that has yet to get that YouTube sensation status yet.
he's
like the Jason sensation of Radford, Virginia.
Oh man, no, don't. No, he's like all cracked out and shit.
Well,
now.
back when he was legitimate is what I'm trying to say. Okay, I'm trying to be positive in that compliment. All right, then I'll just say you're the next, you know, equivalent of like someone tickling a kitty on YouTube. Just give it time or something like that.
Yeah, some shit on the internet's really dumb, right?
Isn't it? And people just love to like just, hey, look what I saw. Oh, look, someone's, you know, tickling their asshole. Oh, ain't it funny?
Yeah, and then all your Facebook trends, like now it's the how much have you aged? It's like, well, obviously, if someone aged like shit, they're not going to post it on Facebook. So it's the most of these people. It's like, I haven't changed that much. Look at me. Or now
well,
I had two kids, and look, it made me look more adult. Aren't I cool? It's like, come on, like what the? I'm tired of Facebook. Facebook's trash. I'm grumpy today. I'm sorry. I'm going to pull Tyler on this episode. I'm grumpy.
It's going to affect all three of us at some point in various times. You know, Joe's like, guys, I this podcast is over, and flips it over, and then he leaves, and Nathan's like, I hate life. Life sucks. What's the purpose of life?
You know, you know what? I'm still trying to figure that out. And no, it's not from lack of sleep. It's just frustration from sewer lines and figuring all that shit out. But we won't bring that up. What are we talking about today?
You said we won't talk about that shit today.
Yeah. See what I just
we did. Are talking about, in my opinion, one of my top 10 films of all time, which just intensifies why 1987 is such an important year for movies, from Predator to He-Man, Superman 4, and of course what we're talking about today,
RoboCop. One of these things is not like the other.
And that would be between, you know, us three, I guess. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, you're like 1987. What a year for film. RoboCop.
It was a year for film. I don't give a damn what you
two Superman say. 4.
Hey, go back to playing your kid chameleons and your Pac-Man video games and your streaming services and all that stuff.
Your Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah. By the way, I watched Temple of Doom on Netflix. It made me think of like what life was like for like Joe Amato's cult. Like Joe is like the Mola Ram of like, you know, the He-Man community. Like I can picture like Joe like having like these big like voodoo rituals and stuff like that, and they're all just like on their knees and stuff like that.
People trying to get hearts ripped out and shit. Yeah,
well, but it would have to be along the lines of what Joe does. Like Joe's constantly customizing stuff, so he's like setting something on fire to like make like the paint, the original paint on the vintage figure melt off, so he's like laughing maniacally that he's destroying a vintage figure to customize for somebody or something like that, you know. And then I'm up with Indiana Jones, and Nathan's my short round, you know. That's how
fuck you. Fuck off with all that.
It's like, how the hell am I short round?
Nathan's short round.
Wow. Sure. All right. Well, I'm done for the rest of the day. You guys have fun. Tyler, text me, just be like, we're done, and then I'll just come in here and hit stop broadcast.
Well, I will say, here's another thing. Like, I watched Fatal Beauty last night, and Brad Dourif's in it. He's got, like, old school Nathan hair. I'm like, looks just like Nathan if Nathan was a drug lord. Like, Nathan could play, like, a Brad Dourif stunt double.
I mean, yeah, you know what? There is a picture of him and I that exists because I didn't meet him.
But if you had like really like the long hair that you used to have, like you had in Fatal Beauty,
yeah. But wasn't his hair like way frizzier than mine?
It was had a bit of a puff to it, but it looked like certain angles, like it was just like Nathan back in the day.
Now I gotta see what he looked like in this movie.
Joe, did you ever see Fatal Beauty?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Except that, except his is just kind of, it's like, it's long, but it's all like one length, and it's like right here.
Yeah.
So it looks,
it's a little bit more trimmed up since he is in a Hollywood picture. But I was like, God, he looks just like Nathan. If Nathan was, you know, a drug lord in the 80s, that would have been him.
Yeah, and did you say you posted a picture, Nathan, of both of you guys on Facebook?
It's in one of my photo albums. I think it's what year was that? Mad Monster 2014 or so.
Which one?
Where I met Brad Dourif. That was the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was like 2013 or something. 2012 or 2013. I don't know.
It's all a blur now. That was long ago. All right, so we're talking RoboCop. He's got Ed 209.
Yeah, Nathan got this for me for Christmas, so had room to set him
there. It's a badass figure.
Damn right it is. But, well, Joe, since you're the oldest, you probably saw it in theaters.
I did.
Of course you did. Now, did it upset you that there was no, like, full-blooded Italians in this movie?
Yeah, we had the one guy playing one that he got called what a WOP or something during the movie. I couldn't remember what he said, but yeah, that guy wasn't really Italian.
So far, so you're a WOP ass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this guy ain't fucking Italian. But no, yeah, it was a movie I seen in the theater, and just like most movies. And first, I wanted to ask, what does it look like? Because I can't see you guys. I've told
Well, you were looking fine before we started, and now that you started, it looks about the same. And then sometimes I can't even see you at all. Like the screen just goes blank. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, when I am there, is it filling the whole screen from side to side? Or no. Oh, then hold on. Do you think I could move the camera during this and it would change?
I mean, yeah, you can try it. Or just break your tablet, one or the other.
Did that change?
Yeah.
Hold on. It did? Okay, hold on. Let me get my thing straight because I'm a little crooked. I don't even know. I could just tell that it's crooked. Okay, is it okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's you're back to your old VHS quality. Yeah, your VHS quality. But you fill up more of the screen, which is what you want.
Yeah. All right, there. I want to fill up more of the screen. But no, yeah, it's a movie I've seen in the theater. And just like most movies, I always remember what it's like when I leave the theater. And sure shit, everybody was doing this stiff kind of walk. Everybody, it's like, I don't know why, you see somebody and you're into them. It's like everybody's walking like RoboCop when the movie is over. I even had a habit of doing it where I'd go to school. Aaron's like, would you quit walking like RoboCop? And it's just, I love the movie so much, but it's also one of those movies that it was great. And a lot of people that when I would want to see it again on VHS back in the day, it was like, man, did you quit watching that kiddie movie? And I remember I always told them, I was like, kiddie? And this was coming from adults, usually my older relatives. I said, did you ever really watch this movie? I said, this is violent. And of course, even watching it within years later, it's like, damn, it was even more violent than I really thought. I don't know if it's I just took it for granted because I always watching Friday the 13th and horror movies. It just, I was, you know, like immune to the shit. But what a violent but great-ass movie. You pity the guy, you see what happens at the beginning to him. But once he becomes RoboCop, just what a fucking great action movie. This is a movie, unlike RoboCop 3, which I've just never wanted to watch.
We're not wasting our airtime with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's just, it's an abomination. Don't do it, Joe. Yeah, but this one, I've never heard anybody say, I didn't like watching, you know, RoboCop. I've never heard that myself. I don't know about you two, but I've never experienced anybody that said, I didn't like RoboCop. Have you guys? Because that would be a shocker to me.
I've never came across, I almost want to say, but I really can't even say for sure that if it was somebody that's like slamming, it was probably like some girl who doesn't watch like good movies, that just watch like anything with like Melissa McCarthy or some shit like that, you know. But honestly, I really can't picture it. I don't remember, because if they didn't say they loved it, all they could say was, boy, that was a violent movie. And that was about it. No one has ever said, I didn't like that movie. Not once. I mean, everybody, it's one of those films that's like Jaws. It's like Star Wars.
Kind of a great Jones. Story. Just a great-ass story. Yeah, the story is
universally
cheesy at all.
Loved. And for me, it was built to, I seriously hit the movie kind of similar like with The Fly, which is something I'd love for us to discuss on this podcast at some point too. But it was built up as a kid as a very violent film. It was talked about by my family and my parents at times. And I remember seeing snippets somewhere, because I always remember seeing Clarence Boddicker. And that's all I could really remember about the film, was the villain had glasses and he was bald. That's all I can remember. And it's, that in Ed 209, that's it. I could not tell you anything else about it. And I watched the cartoon on Marvel Action Universe. I only had the original RoboCop figure, and it wouldn't be till sixth grade my dad said, sure, if you want to watch RoboCop, go ahead and rent it. So I rented that in America Werewolf in London in the same viewing. I saw them both for the first time back to back. And I was hooked after that. And I'd seen RoboCop 2 in the 90s on Fox, so before I ever saw this one, but I still had not seen the first one because it had been just talked about. It's just, it was so violent. And I wasn't taken aback. It was just engrossed, and I appreciate just how violent it was. And that's why I really wish this is one of the films I wish I could have seen when it had been released, because I can imagine all the controversy of people who were saying, oh, you can't watch that because of how violent the movie was. And, but even by today's standards, I still say it's hard to find movies that have that level of violence, but it looks realistic. And that's why I like Paul Verhoeven's take on it, that if you're going to show someone being shot up, this is what it would look like being shot up by a giant robot machine, killing machine like this. Like, it's not going to look, you know, oh, it's a small like bullet hole right here. You know, I like that. And it's a masterpiece, and nobody could argue it. I don't care who listens to this podcast. If they couldn't come up with a legitimate argument that says this is a film that doesn't hold up, or it's a product of its time, or something like that. It transcends like so many other great films. This needs to be preserved like Terminator is, you know, but I forgot what it's like, the American Film Institute or somebody has like, you know, preserves like certain films. RoboCop has got to be one of those films that is preserved, like Wizard of Oz, Terminator, Star Wars, Jaws. It's one of those films that, yeah, I feel like, yeah, you don't want to show a 5-year-old this movie, even though Nathan kind of grew up.
Yeah.
Know, yeah. Seeing it a little bit earlier, I think, but
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't let Bryant watch it. My nephew, I wouldn't let him watch it, you know, at an early age. But I think it's an important film because it's just a film that was not afraid to take chances. It suffered a little bit behind the scenes because of it, but it's been paying dividends ever since it came out. And I think everybody that was involved, from the actors to Paul to Rob Bottin to Phil Tippett, everybody that was involved, it's a movie that I love. As I get older, my passion for this film just goes more. I quote it to death. I, like Joe, sometimes like to think, like when you're walking, the chung, you know? Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah. To, like, if you could walk and make that noise, God, how awesome right. That'd be.
I think that would get annoying after a while, honestly.
Well, that's only you, because, you know, you like to, like, shit all in my parade all the time.
Well, you know. I watched RoboCop. I was, shit, let's see. I think it was 4 or 5. It was definitely when HBO got a hold of it, and we had back when we had HBO, my parents would just record all the movies that came on there, and sure enough, that showed up on HBO, recorded it, watched it, and you know, not too much long after that, RoboCop 2 came out, and my dad's like, hey, I'm going to take you to the movies to see RoboCop 2. I was like, okay. And then that's when, towards the end of the movie, the film broke.
And, oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and there wasn't any refunds or anything, so I didn't get to see the end of that movie until...
It was right before him and Kane fought right? At the reveal of Kane to the public.
Yep. Yeah. So it was, yeah, I missed the end and didn't get to see it until... it came out on VHS and we rented it, but I feel like this is going to almost sort of be like the Black Dynamite episode, where we're going to be like, yeah, it was good, and we'll talk about it, and then the episode 45 minutes, like we're done essentially, because it's so good. I can see, like, if someone were to not like it, it's probably because of the violence, to be like, oh, it's too violent, I don't want to watch it, but
you know, that's what the movie was supposed to be. Yeah. Violence, just a good-ass movie. And, you know, the thing is, I'm sure at the time when they first did this movie, I'm sure they weren't targeting, thinking, man, I hope this is, you know, going to really catch on with the kids. But that's the thing. It really did catch on with the kids and adults, and yeah, so much so to where you could see, you know, like when they started making the other sequels, yes, it seems like the violence was really toned or taken back, you know, like, okay, let's just dial this back a little bit. And then you get a TV series of it. You get a cartoon of it. You get action figures of it. It's crazy that these iconic characters that are, I don't think, ever meant for kids become role models to kids. It's bizarre. But yeah, that's like one of the most violent movies you could think. Like Tyler was saying, you know, sometimes you'll see some movies, especially nowadays, you know, people are getting shot, you see just like a poof, like, you know, they're supposed to be falling back and, you know, whatever, a little pop. But you don't even see blood. It's just whatever packs they got to make like holes, and then like the cloth or something of whatever they're wearing is flying. But this, you didn't get it from RoboCop. I mean, there is just blood and just shit everywhere. And again, the practical effects is what makes it so believable. You know, again, it wasn't relying on special effects for the gory parts. You know, I mean, you know, like computer type of shit, fake shit. It was just the practical, nasty shit. His head getting popped, you know, with that animatronic type of head they use too, but just gross as hell. I mean, the only time you really notice, you know, computer effects are always when they do the green screen shit, like when you see Ed 209 and a person standing there and you can tell, yes, they're not there at the same time, but who cares? It doesn't take away from the movie. But yeah, it's just like Ed 209 himself. That was one thing that always got me is, another character, super iconic and known, obviously, in the movie. And, you know, he had his, you know, of course, that scene at the beginning when, you know, the guy drops the gun and he still thinks he has the gun. He just blew him to shit.
Now, Joe, I have to ask real quick. Did you watch the version you bought with the
extra cut? I didn't realize, man, he was getting shot even more.
Didn't watch it.
It was unreal. I didn't know there was all that extra shooting when he was on the table. It's like, good God, they were just shooting the shit out of him. But, you know, Ed 209 from that, and then having his fight with RoboCop, and then, of course, later RoboCop, when he comes at the end, and just blows him up. And I never realized, as a kid, I always thought Ed 209 was in it a lot more, you know, because he was so damn impactful. When you seen the presence of that sucker, it was scary. I mean, just all the sound effects it made and the movements, and when it was, like I said, when it blew that guy to shit, that was a scary-ass robot. But, yeah, it's funny, like I said, how your mind can play tricks on you. I used to, as a kid, think there was more until I watched it again. I was like, well, it wasn't as much as I thought, but what it was there for, it was just used perfectly, that you know, robot. Just fucking nasty. The only thing I didn't like is what we mentioned before. When he falls down the stairs and makes that baby screaming sound, I was like, I wish that wasn't in.
But that makes sense, though. Like, I kind of feel like, it's... And I know.
Did you really like it though a lot when he did it? It just, I felt it sounded like a baby. I don't know, but
there's reason behind that when you're making it. When I'm watching movies, I look at it from a perspective of a movie making standpoint and also from a logic standpoint. But I try to avoid logic because if you're looking for logic in films, you got no business watching movies. You go watch your lame ass Law and Order stuff or whatever, you know. I don't want to find realism in movies like this. You know, you set the rules and the world and the tone, and let's go for a ride with it. Don't try to, let's make it as realistic as current 2019 right now. I don't want to see that. So it's just like in like the first Jaws film, like there's brief moments of like Jaws popping out.
Roars.
Like this. Yeah, there's a bit of a roar sound effect, and it's done to add a little extra sound to something where there would be no sound. And with Ed 209 falling down the steps, the pigs, it's done. I believe it's done for comedic effect a little bit, but I also feel like it works within the context of the scene. It just seems like
What you're saying too.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean for it.
It's never bothered me. It's never taken me out of the moment of like, okay, RoboCop's got away from him. Then he runs into the police force waiting for him down in the parking garage. Like
No, not in a point to where it was lame. It's just when it was like the sound effects that it was making, it's just because I seen this imposing juggernaut of a thing. And I just hated the sounds. Like, it's like they're making him like he's a little baby, like sissy. I understand what they're doing to make sound.
It sounds like a pig sound, but it almost, you could, I mean, Nathan, you guys can disagree. Like, it sounds like, you know, he's trying so hard to get up. The gears are squeaking and screaming, you know, and just they're working all over the place because there's no control. He doesn't know what to do. So he's just, you know, kind of lost his mind because he doesn't know how to get up. So, I mean,
so they made sure they programmed in the pig squeal just in case, like, okay, if you ever fall,
not
this is the sound you're going to
make. Squeal. All right, Joe,
I know what you mean.
And I don't like it.
No, he's like, I don't like it, Joe. He's like, I'm supposed to be the one that makes those smart ass remarks.
I'm not trying
you.
To be cute during this movie here. I'm taking this movie seriously, okay? This is my Last Dragon here. This is my movie from the streets here, buddy.
That was the only thing, though, like I said, in the whole movie I didn't like was that part. But otherwise, I love the whole movie, and it doesn't take away from the movie. It was just a part that, yes, when I would nitpick something, if there was ever that drove me nuts, that was it. It was just like in Friday the 13th, Part 8, at the end, when Jason is sitting there and he starts drowning in the toxic acid, and you hear him say, Mommy? I was like, oh, God, I hated
that
part.
I mean, whether you like it or not, that makes sense within the context.
It does,
at least it's what they're pushing throughout the film, though, you know?
Yeah.
I know what you mean with that.
Of
adult Jason just pining to be a kid again, or that transition.
When he was a kid, oh God, when the acid went away and there's a boy there, oh, that drove me fucking nuts. But that ain't, yeah, we can't talk about that movie right now. I love it, but oh, I hated that part. Go ahead, Nathan. I think I rambled too much.
It doesn't bother me with the noises, and it does sound like pigs squealing, but I mean I don't know. Now you guys got me thinking about that. Like, it doesn't, that part of it doesn't bother me, and his voice is cool anyway. 15 seconds to comply.
I mean, can you guys argue, like, is there a scarier robot that's graced the silver screen other than, you know, and I would say, dare say, the Terminator. But as a kid, I was scared of the Terminator. I was more like, you know, because I didn't want to boot on. I wanted to root for him.
But I meant. He scared the shit out of me. That's what I mean. Ed 209, that's why it was so frightening. So when that moment came, it pissed me off because everything about him scared the hell out of me. I was like, this is just some gigantic, unstoppable, fucking giant robot with all this artillery that would just rip you to shit. So that's what, you know, because like the robot in RoboCop 2, you know, when Kane or whatever became the robot, I was like, eh, I didn't feel him as much as Ed 209. I really loved Ed 209, but...
Well, I don't recall you not liking Kane in RoboCop 2.
No, I just don't comparing his design with Ed 209. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about a more intimidating.
Kane had a pretty damn, I mean, nothing is going to beat this guy, but I think Kane is a worthy follow up overall.
Like, it's a good design. I just prefer Ed 209. It just seemed more imposing. Like, I guess the impact of his debut, his appearance when I first seen it compared to Kane and his robot, it's like I felt like Ed 209 won the award for the most fucking imposing looking, you goddamn giant robot. That's what I meant. He just had that more imposing look to him.
I know Kane's more agile, though.
No, he is. Oh, yeah, he can at least walk down the stairs, yeah.
Well, that, he can climb up an elevator shaft as well.
Right,
too,
quick. So. Ting, 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 ting. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of what Verhoeven was going with, because obviously this movie does have that kind of cynical satire-esque behind it. So to have Ed 209 as like the super imposing build it up, but... The one thing that they didn't think about is how's he going to get down the steps?
Sure.
So
that makes sense too. Yeah. Like the way his feet move, like he's not, can't quite compute or whatever, or comprehend.
Cannot compute. Yeah.
Piss you off at the end when RoboCop just pulls out the giant artillery cannon, throws it on top of the police car, just blows the hell out of Ed 209, just for his feet to, you know, just.
That was a quick shocker. I like that when he said there 20 seconds. He just pulled out, boom, blew away, and had that smile. It's like, oh, RoboCop got a kick out of what he just did. I like that. Yeah.
Well, let's transition into our human villains. Man, Clarence.
Oh, yeah.
Clarence, what a bastard. You know, it's kind of funny. For him to have gone from that, and I know Tyler doesn't like that 70s show, but I used to.
Then
I enjoy it, and him as Red Foreman is fantastic. He is one of the highlights of the show. But man, just what a ruthless guy. And for Murphy, his first day on the job, to go out, runs into him, and to just be taunted like that, and is in the, because really all I've watched is the X-rated unrated cut. When he shoots him in the hand, obviously in this cut there is more, right, than what was in there theatrically. It had to have been.
The theatrical cut doesn't show his arm being blown off, because when they start opening fire on, his arm's already gone.
Okay.
So in the X-rated cut, you see his right arm get blown off, and then he's like kind of stunned, and then they open fire all over him.
But Jesus. I don't know. I'm kind of off on this episode because I'm too busy thinking about the other shit I got to do.
Well, and that's understandable, dude. Don't beat yourself up about that. That's a big problem, dude. So
but
don't beat yourself up.
It's Detroit. Like I feel like Detroit is still like that. It's still talked about. Like Detroit is still just sort of just down and grimy, and crime is everywhere. It's like how it is. Chicago too. Honestly, I feel like there's not enough movies that have taken place in Chicago like that. It's usually like New York, or you know, once RoboCop came out, it's like, oh, Detroit. But Chicago doesn't get enough love for their violence and murder and crime. But
maybe we should go stage like a low budget fan film with like a crime job, or Joe's like the Italian mob.
No, I'm not going to Chicago. Maybe Doug could attest to any of that.
No, Doug could be we can hire Doug for the director or producer, and then you and me could be like a couple of buddy cops who don't get along, you know, because you're about, you know, I'm hot-headed and everything, and I'm like, come on, guys. I'll be like the Richard Greek of it. I try to talk people even down from jumping off the ledge, and Nathan's like, let me just put a bullet in their head and be done.
Man, that is a name that I haven't heard in a while. Richard.
Well, I know. I just thought I just pulled that right out of my butt. you know. But I think Joe would make a great mob boss.
Yeah, Joe's got to be. He's got to be the villain. He would be the guy that's like during the film. It's kind of portrayed like, oh yeah, he's kind of the public sees him as, oh, he's a good guy, but then it transitions to certain scenes that shows just how like ruthless that he is. He's like taking dudes out, like out in the fields, and you know they make them dig their own grave, and then he shoots them in the head, and then makes his guys like bury the bodies and everything.
I was trying to say that I'm like somebody that acts nice, but I'm really an ass, and probably takes them out. Is that what you're saying?
You're like Wilson Fisk. Like you present yourself as like this, you know, very nice, you know, philanthropist out in public, you know, but behind the scenes, you know, you're strangling guys with your bare hands. You're taking vintage toys and just destroying them in front of the collectors who own them. Just say, I'm going to customize this. I'm going to just paint it black. What do you think about that? You know,
I remember doing that, choking somebody. I actually did choke somebody really badly.
I'm sure it was like the last McNugget or something like that.
Well, before Joe gets into that story, I'm surprised Tyler didn't get on me onto this when I'm saying about the Chicago stuff, because JSP just said there's two Schwarzenegger movies that take place in Chicago, Red Heat and Raw Deal.
I thought you were talking about right now, like currently.
I was kind of thinking as a whole. I felt like Chicago didn't get enough love, and like,
who is there anyways in the chat room? Because like I said, I can't see nothing. I don't have my computer, so I didn't know what was going on.
Well, we kind of had to wait for a minute. I guess the notifications for the arcade was just like people were probably just, oh yeah, him again. But we got Janusz Grimm 2 and JSP, but there are a couple other handfuls of people that are just lurking around. So pop in the chat, say hello. All right, Joe, tell us your story about the time that you choked somebody.
Just to let you know, nobody was drastically hurt, but it was my ma who had to keep screaming my name to actually get me to stop this person that was choking. Because you know how they say sometimes you see red when you lose your shit, when you really lose it? I was gone, and all I remember was when I was choking this person, it's like I wasn't even focused, and I really felt like I was seeing red, and I kept hearing a muffled sound, and eventually heard my ma saying something, and I finally stopped, and oh, isn't that terrible? And not that I want to say something, but you're talking about choking somebody, and it was like, God, it made me have a memory of the one time I choked somebody. It was not fun. So that's all, but it was good. The person did nothing bad happen, so I don't want you guys thinking I'm insane or nothing.
We passed that boat a long time ago, Joe.
I wish I could see your faces. I can't see nothing. I hate this that I can't see what's going on. Looking at you guys, I don't even know what you're doing or if you're making faces at me or nothing. I can't see nothing.
I've just every time that you've talked, I've just put a middle finger up.
You know, you could. And Tyler could be rolling his eyes and making goofy faces and doing stuff, and I don't know what's happening.
I could be like Danny DeVito and Twins when you're sitting there talking. I'm like,
so yeah, you're not going to tell us what really caused you to choke this person. You're going to leave that out of the story.
Well, actually, it was because somebody said something about my mom, and that was it. When they said something about my mom, I lost it. But it
must have been pretty bad. It must have been pretty bad if you're gonna actually.
I don't like nobody. That's
an Italian stereotype, isn't it, Joe?
No, it's not really. I think that's just a person's stereotype.
No, I just prefer people like, you know, Italian folks to take it very personally. You know, you bring their mom into it, kind of thing.
I think it. I mean, it happens to anybody. You talk about somebody's mom, and yeah, you might lose it. But yeah, that's what it was, Nathan. But everything was cool, so I don't want people thinking, you know, I was doing nothing bad. Are you guys making faces? What's going on? Because I can't. Keep talking. Because I think you guys are doing something. It drives me nuts.
No, that's just you being the paranoid mob boss that you are, thinking everyone's out to get you.
Yeah, you know, this entire time, man, I've just been like itching my back. Because my back itches because my skin's dry.
I just been kind of staring off until you were done.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I know.
And quickly, I wanted to say one thing. Nathan was saying that I played 6 hours straight of that bowling yesterday. That's not the case. It was off and on between I would sculpt, paint, eat, and I would just try this game a couple times of this bowling he did, and I was just obsessed on trying to get 300. Then I eventually got it. But I was not playing for 6 hours straight like a lunatic. I was tired the last time I did it, but that's all I was saying.
He called me, I think, on Facebook Messenger for video chatting. What was it, three times, four times?
Yeah, I think it was four, yeah.
And each time he was up to 290 on the final frame from having a perfect game. And the first time he bowled a 297. And that's the video that I posted on Facebook laughing at him because he failed. He called me again. And he's like, I'm nervous. My hands are shaking. I'm sweating. I'm like, all right, well, just do it, man. And knocked them all down but one. So he got 299. And that was funny.
Thanks.
He called me again. did it again, 299. We all had a good laugh. And then, shit, that final time, it was what?
I think it was like midnight. I was half asleep.
It was midnight. You're like, all right, this time I promise. I'm done after this. I'm like, yeah, sure, Joe. And he got a 300. And I was like, all right. And he's like, I'm gonna go to bed. If you stream, I'll try to watch. I was like, all right, Joe.
So that's it. Just wanted to explain that. A quick side rant during the show, but I just had to say that.
What an exhausting life Joe must lead.
Thank you. No, I just didn't want people thinking I was actually playing for 6 hours straight.
Are you kidding? The way you boast about how good you are at games, it's a wonder that you take time to even do the podcast from all the video game playing you must do. I mentioned Joe just like is like dressed like the Monopoly guy when he's like going to arcades back in the 80s and 90s. Like he's got his top hat and his cane.
Twirling my cane. Yeah.
Acting like 50,000 on Double Dragon. Preposterous, you know, just.
That was bad. See, Tyler, that's what I told Nathan. I said, that's why I'm glad I don't play games like I used to because I would take things personally. It's not like Nathan said, okay, Joe, I challenge you to beat. I don't know what's happening. But he was like, it's not like Nathan said, okay, Joe, I challenge you to beat my score. But after I seen him do that bowling, I was like, I've never played this bowling in my life. But now I want to beat his score. And then it became a quest to get 300. So I pick up challenges when they don't even exist. That's how terrible.
Yeah, you pretty much, it's like you're just like, look. I've heard of this
scenario before. What's that?
Where I'm trying to think of where I saw this scenario where, like, Joe is, like, playing the guy who's like, oh, so you want to fight, huh? Who the hell are you? Oh, right, I'll meet you outside. I just hope you don't use those whips over there on the wall. He's like Mel Gibson on South Park. Thinking everyone wants to torture him. Like, dude, can we just have our money back? Huh? You know, just, you know, you're going to shove something up in my ass? Well, go ahead. Like, I just want my money. Can I get the hell out of here and leave? And Joe's just walking up to random people thinking, beat my score, huh? Who the hell are you? That's what's going on here. He's just.
Oh, it's like
he's walking around with, like, a Super Nintendo controller and it's not plugged into anything.
Yeah. He's just like, think you're trying to beat my score here?
And then he's like, I'm
walking around Walmart. It's like local Walmart. Where's it? You think you beat my. Like, there's what's the Super Nintendo? This right here. Yeah, just don't play John with me.
Oh, shit.
I'm not crazy.
Just sitting on like a milk crate outside Walmart, sitting there playing a game that's not there. You know, just.
That's what happened to me, yeah. The homeless lunatic playing imaginary.
And the next thing you know, someone's going to take his controller. He won't know the difference. He's just trying to beat, you know, I got to get 300. There's nothing there. And they start throwing him quarters. Like, well, someone's eating the dollar menu tonight.
You go to his house, and it's like Finkel, the kicker from Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
I know. He's got
blood on the walls, blood on the controllers. His names of somebody that beat his score 20 years ago, and he just can't let it go.
Oh shit!
I know he's got like Nintendo Power's got like blood hand stains all over like issues of Nintendo Power and you know Nathan must die and you know right controller only you know instead of laces out you know just comes up with all this nonsense you know.
Oh shit!
See, Joe lends itself to like so much parody. Like we could do like a series of films and short films of just putting Joe in as the star as long as we feed him. He'll shut up and just do whatever we tell him when we say roll the camera. You know,
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you feed me. I'm usually a happy person. I admit that.
And Joe's like, hey, you want to play in this film? We'll give you free food. Okay. And it's like, can you imagine how much money you save on the budget? You don't have to pay your lead star.
Yeah.
Just give him something to eat.
I had that. I mean, people in the family, they've offered to cook me some food to come over. Sometimes I won't come over. Hey, you haven't been over here in a while. It's like, well, I've been real busy.
Shit.
Hey,
oh my God. They bribe you with food. It's like, hey, I haven't seen you about 10 years. I'm making steak. Joe, it's your favorite. I'll be there.
Joe really is the guy who, Joe, you probably were the guy who invented the site, Will Work for Food. And then other people just took it and ran off with it back in the 90s. And,
oh, shit.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It could be the thing where, like, when Forrest Gump, he's doing his cross-country run.
Yeah.
And wipes like, his
yeah,
face.
He goes through the middle of the country. He goes through parts unknown. And there's Joe just hanging out with that sign. He's like, oh. Or, like, Forrest Gump gives him the idea to do it.
Yeah. Well, just say, you work for food. Joe's like, holds his head like, oh, my God. Give me a sign so I can customize it. And then the legend is born.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh, we have to get back to RoboCop now. Thank you for that. It was a good side rant laugh. Go ahead.
Kurtwood Smith is Clarence Boddicker. Can you picture anybody who's more frightening with glasses on?
Yeah, and he's not like a big guy at all.
No, but he's a scary guy.
It's just the eyes and then the voice.
His voice. And just that they allow him, and that's I give Paul Verhoeven, I mean everybody gets credit for this film. But it's a prime example of what a villain should be. There is no, you know, gray area. There's no like logic behind what Clarence Boddicker does or his gang. They're just a complete menace, like through and through. And that's, I just get sick and tired of villains being afraid to do that nowadays, where they at least they want to have the villain be hardcore, but then they give him the reason why he did it. Someone stole his lunch money back in eighth grade, and therefore he's had it out for society. And then they'll have to do all kinds of crazy stuff, but I feel like not seeing anything like that for Clarence Boddicker. The guy's just complete black, just solid black heart. I mean, just, you know, like, can you fly, Bobby? Just one of his guys out immediately for like, you burnt, you know, just screaming at him for burning
you
the money.
You burnt the fucking money!
It's as good as Mark! He's like a powder keg.
Yeah.
And I love that about
him. Well, it's like, you know, Bobby gets shot in the leg. And basically, he's like, all right, he fucked up. And now he's shot. I have no use for him. Let's just throw him out. You know, we can use him to maybe stop him for a brief moment so we can get away. And just, I can't remember the guy's name because I'm terrible with most characters.
Which guy are you talking about?
The guy that is like the head of designing RoboCop. The lead on the project.
Bob Morton.
There we go. So when Clarence shows up at his house and just immediately walks in the door, bitches leave.
Yeah, that's a classic one. I remember Chud.com took a picture of Kurt Wood Smith from that 70s show with him smiling, and the caption said, bitches leave with him smiling. I just thought, God, that was just – I love it to have a T-shirt of him smiling with the caption says, bitches leave, and that's it. God, that'd be great.
I mean, I'm sure – go on Redbubble, Tyler. I'm sure it exists. Put it on the tank top.
Yeah, that would be great.
But like he just shows up, says that, and doesn't really spare much time for talking. And then it's like pop, pop, pop in his legs, and they look
awful. Those guns,
yeah,
that wound.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. The only thing that I could think that would hurt more than that is when RoboCop shoots that one guy in the dick.
And he had every right. I'm glad he did too.
Yeah.
God, man, those. That's the one thing to the special effects crew did all those. I mean, because those gunshot wounds to Mr. Kenny, to Peter Weller as Alex Murphy, to Bob Moore. I mean, they're just vicious looking. Like that helps sells. Like their acting intensifies and sells the pain. But man, they look real and raw, man.
Yeah, can you imagine just getting shot in the dick? Like, obviously you get shot in the dick. Like, I just imagine you get shot. And it's a certain way. I just imagine like your dick and scrotum is just like detached immediately. Whew. You know,
please don't.
So just imagine it's like stuck to like the side of your leg, like inside your jeans too.
It's flopping around and then it falls out the leg of your jeans.
Yeah.
Getting more descriptive. Jesus Christ.
So I imagine
but that's
too.
Realistic though, Joe.
And I imagine too, like you're obviously probably going to like start to just piss yourself.
Yeah. I've often wondered how that would work. You know, if it's removed like that, does it just kind of, does your piss just come out the big open bloody hole?
Well, I don't know. I imagine because the parts are there to kind of like stop it and hold it in place. But I would say that some of it would. It would have.
Joe, you're a customizer. What can you tell us?
This is fucking terrible. I just hear it. And I kept thinking about Lorena Bobbitt chopping off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he shows up on Raw and saves Val Venus from getting his dick cut off by Kai and Tai.
Didn't he do, like, porn, too, John Bob?
Yeah, he did porn, That would be just kind of odd, you know, because I've never seen it, but I imagine that a lot of this is focusing on his dick.
Yeah.
And
could you imagine how quick that must have been done? Could you even imagine you're in dead sleep and just somebody, what the fuck?
Have been sleeping naked, right? Or she would have had to have done something to
like drug him or something.
Jesus,
I don't know.
Oh,
I do remember. I hate Conan O'Brien, but they did a skit years ago of his co-host was playing a skit of where he was the guy who got hit in the head by when Lorena threw the dick out the window. He's playing the guy that got smacked in the head by it, and the police are interviewing about, so where did you get hit in the head? He's like, well, it was like right here. And just describing like someone got knocked in the head.
Did he have a bruise or anything?
No, he was just had this like concerned look on his face trying to describe to the police, you know, about being hit in the head by a severed dick.
Well, it's like, what did she do? If he had clothes on and he wasn't drugged or anything, did she just go in there, like, pull his boxers down, like, yeah?
Think of it this way. Like, when I saw, me and Nathan saw I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I go to the bathtub, and she just, like, just snips it right off. You're like, gee, good God, man. It's just, the guy, I don't remember the guy being drugged or anything, but she's
No. She was seductively going to go give him, like, a hand job, and then you just see the blood start to fill up, and he, like,
God, I mean, that was...
Joe, have you seen I Spit on Your Grave?
No.
Really?
That's kind of surprising. I figured, yeah,
like that horror genre. Like, oh, dude, that it's honestly, it's fucked up, but I enjoy that movie. I enjoy it more watching it because Joe Bob Briggs has commentary on the DVD, and that's a blast to watch that movie with his commentary because he's very.
How old is it?
Oh man,
it's early '80s film.
Oh, I just don't remember it.
They remade it too. I haven't.
Yeah, I didn't want to see the remake. I've only watched it once because I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see that movie.
Actually, again. Tyler, you are wrong because I was thinking. I was like,
oh, late 70s?
Yeah, it's 78. Mm. I'm honestly genuinely surprised, Joe, that you have not seen that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how. I just, yeah, never did. That's like,
it's brutal.
Okay.
It's basically. Bunch of guys rape this chick who she's kind of like out in a cabin, remote cabin. She's like working on.
She's like a writer or something.
Yeah. She's working on a book, and they find her and rape her and leave her for dead, and then she comes back for revenge.
All four of them.
Yeah. No. So it's cool, but it just go into it. It is brutal. You know, the subject of rape and all that stuff. It's sometimes it's kind of tough to watch in parts.
Now, that's something I will admit. I don't take kindly to like watching rape scenes. Like, I don't,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because it's just, it's,
I don't, I hate, yeah. I mean, I get pissed off when I hear about rape cases and things like that. And I just, it's very unsettling. I know, but I don't denounce films for putting it because it's something that happens. It's, that's why I can appreciate realism in films. If you're going to have a rape scene, make it a rape scene. It doesn't mean I have to enjoy it, because a rape scene shouldn't be enjoyed. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. So,
yeah, and thank goodness RoboCop stopped that, because that was what was interesting in the alley is, you know, these people don't know who the hell or what a RoboCop is, and when he came out and showed up and had that gun, I think even one of the bad guys was talking to the other guys like, man, he's going to shoot her. Like, they thought that RoboCop was going to shoot her, and, you know, of course, you see the crosshairs, and he shoots right through her dress, and bam, like, he said, shot the guy in the dick, but yeah, he stopped that moment, and then remember she came up and was trying to, like, hug him. He was like, madam, what did he say? Something about, you know, I'll contact the rape
cop. Shock. I will notify a rape crisis center.
Yeah, that was it. So there you go. So he prevented that. But yeah, I like that, man. It's every time when he showed up something different, the one guy, you know, fuck me, when he kept shooting RoboCop over and over and over and did nothing. He just blasted right into that, you know, display of all those drinks and shit that he's like,
you know, thinking. Miller Lite cans, you know.
Where's the safe? We don't have a safe, and kicks over all those cans.
I want to blow her brains out. I love how he picks up an Iron Man comic and puts it on the counter before he robs the place, too.
Oh, did he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I know that's kind of like a fun little nod because of like I believe Iron Man was like kind of a slight inspiration, so to speak. And just kind of, you know, a common thread between RoboCop and Iron Man anyway. But yeah, it's just a fun little gag. Among the buy that for a dollar, which it sounds like a show Joe would probably watch a lot.
The ironic thing is Joe bought the movie for a fucking dollar.
How about that? See,
I bet, and that's probably what Joe thought. I'd buy that for a dollar. Yes.
And that's why, when I did that post, that's what I had in my head. And I said, yes, I bought this for a dollar. And everybody started popping that GIF up. I'd buy that for a dollar. Because I was like, who'd have thought they told the future with that movie?
700 reactions, 83 shares, 78 comments.
Now, that was what was bizarre to me. Now, I could understand when I'm posting something where there's a lot of good discussion back and forth. But I was like, how the hell did this get like almost 400 likes? It's just a picture of the RoboCop.
Because it's you, Joe. It's you.
But it was But it was
it
cool.
Pisses
but,
me
like,
off, you know. Like, you need to promote the podcast. I do it. And, like, even when I tag Joe in it, no one gives a shit. You know, but Joe posts the same picture of him as the whitest Italian boy you've ever seen with the modulette mask on for the umpteenth time, and they were like, "I've never seen this before. Wow, man!" And I'm like, Joe could take a picture of an apple brownie and a lump of shit next together. And I, Joe, that's your next test. If you can pull that off. Because I know people who listen to this will just do it just to spite me. But just to say, Joe, I mean, like, I just don't understand the genius that you have preserved in that skull of yours. How did you come up with a rotten apple and a lump of dog shit next to each other? How did you do
it? I think, story. Actually, I think it'd be funnier if you took, like a melted Debbie snack and a lump of dog shit and just be like, Debbie snack or dog shit? Yeah.
What to eat today? Decisions, and see how people are like, wow. I would have to go for a little Debbie snack, you know, and then everyone has to give their 2 cents on. But
yeah, everyone's like, well, you know what? There's a lot of nutrients in dog shit. It's good for you, actually.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And then the people have to come in and start correcting the other people like, well, no, technically, you know, if you eat your dog shit, you know, it has a lot of, like, proteins that are not found in human shit. You know, because all the intellects got to come out and correct each other over a picture. Joe's like, and Joe's just sitting there holding it like a white fluffy cat, you know, not saying anything. Excellent. You know, just he's like, you know, essentially Dr. Evil.
It's so funny, though, like how much this makes Tyler mad.
It doesn't
that.
Make any sense. And yet we can't. And I don't, as many people turn out for something as so meaningless as a picture of a little Debbie cake and a piece of, you know, a nice, you know, fossilized dog turd that Joe will just take a picture, just post it, and you just, Joe's on a podcast, he's talking, he's interacting with people, and I don't understand the logic that if people get so excited to watch Joe post a picture, just get all worked up.
What was that?
I'm mocking that? The
Yeah, Joe can't see any of that either.
I can't see anything. I don't know what's going on.
Like, this weird the excitement people have. It's like they're getting all jazzed up and like they're doing lines of coke and excitement for it. You know, I just don't understand the logic that people get so excited over something like Joe posting. I look what I bought. How'd you do it, man? What's your secret? You know, next year Barbara Walters shows up on his damn doorstep. You know, to ask her, please tell us about your incredible sojourn to the Dollar Tree. You know, and then like Dean Cain's being casted to like a made for TV Hallmark movie. You know, Amado and Me. You know, or something like that. You know, the Christmas Dollar with Joe Amato. You know.
I like that. I like the Christmas Dollar. How far can you stretch a buck? Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Yeah,
like
and then
that.
Like the lesson learned is, you know, you could buy a lot for a dollar, people. You know, if you put your heart into it or something like that, you know. And then the camera pans down to a lump of dog shit and spin.
Oh, Christ.
And written and directed and starring.
Ending? Who would have saw that coming?
Oh, shit.
All right, well, RoboCop, man. Hey.
RoboCop, yeah.
Let's talk
what
about
I also like.
Off, Tyler. Let's talk about more RoboCop.
Yeah,
I like the fake news and the fake commercials that they had in the movie. The games like Nukem and you know what, the whole guy with I'd buy that for a dollar. I'm gonna be honest, and here's where my memory comes in fuzzy. What was he advertising? What was the promotion with that?
No, it's a TV show. It's a TV show, and I there's a name to it, and because you bring it up now, I cannot remember the name of the actual show because it has a name too, but it's a popular sitcom that everyone's watching in this universe.
Oh, I didn't even know it. See, that used to always just confuse me because, you know, it'd pop up, he'd say something in between all the commercials and the news stuff. I assumed it was a commercial. Oh, I never knew it was an actual TV show they were watching.
That's
okay,
just like the popular, like the commercial, like the 2000 SUX and Nukem and all that stuff. Man. You know,
8.2 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Is that what it was, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 8 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
But 6,000 sucks. You know, SUX. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Didn't that one guy, Joe came up with one, too. Remember, he drove up with one. Isn't that when Clarence and blew his up?
Yep, that's when he pulled out the big, that's the first time we see that, like, that big, huge-ass 50 cal gun.
Military arm.
Just It's kind of funny. Like, I don't buy the one shot blowing shit up, but I do in this. I think if you throw the realism into it, if they tried to make it realistic, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is that it would probably just like go in there and do a lot of damage, but I wouldn't see it like instantaneously blown up. Anyway,
why not? Why not?
I don't know. Well, I guess it could, because it would probably pierce.
Like it'd be a little mini missile.
Ed 209 at the end of the movie, like he ends up putting one of those guns on top of the.
Yeah, right. That's why picture was like it's almost like a miniaturized missile launcher. So yeah, when it goes in there, boom, it is gonna blow shit to pieces, and it's supposed to be some new kind of, like you said, they are the military. You know, it's like military grade, but shoot, what they do, it's military, and especially with all the crazy and shit that they're inventing in the movie. Yeah, that part, I was real believable. I loved watching them just shooting that sucker, boom, blow up. That was, I love that.
Yeah, didn't they have like a couple of them? As well, especially when Ray Weiss's character's up there in that tower in RoboCop. Gets a hold of one and just shoots it. And of course, that also leads into one of the better parts, too. And I can't remember the goon's name, but when he drives into the toxic waste and he comes out and he's just like gradually just falling apart.
Yeah, God.
Clarence just boat. Fucking runs him over.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I never seen a moment in a movie that was so gross but so hilarious. Every time me and my dad would see that scene, when he comes out, you know, when he goes, "Help me," and just melting with that shit. It looks so nasty. But then when Clarence hit him and it splits in half and just went to shit, we laugh our ass off. I mean, how do you go from ew to...
Well, I think it helps a lot, too, because when he hits him, Clarence is just like, shit!
Yeah, Kurtwood Smith saying shit the way he does, yeah.
Oh, just the obliteration of that body is what got me. It's like, wow, just to complete mush was so gross. God, nothing. Why can't they do shit like that no more? Why
is everything nowadays? Every time that we do these films, at some point when I'm watching it, I turn to Emily, I'm like, why don't they do this anymore? Why don't they come up with these new ideas that are just kind of out there and they're fun and they're creative and there's thought put into it and the practical effect work? It's like now it's just rehashings of everything. You get them every now and again, but let's think about this for a second. In this time period, you have a cop who gets shot up and he's essentially put back together and he's a robot. Simple enough. But they make it work. You have another story of here's a crew that's going out to take out another thing. Oh, but here's an alien force that's here to like take them out one by one. Simple enough, but they do it in a way that it seems just bursting at the seams of creativity, that someone saw this out and it's like, you know what? This sounds kind of crazy, but we're going to make this work. We're going to make it believable. We're going to pull you in and make you think, oh, wow. Like, and that's what is missing.
You know, want to say something? If I can? Can I just say the quickest 45-second rant in history? Because I don't actually want to discuss the movie I'm going to say, but I'm going to mention something about it that pissed me off. Okay. It's the new Predator movie that came out.
Why the hell did you watch that? I warned both you guys to stay away from it.
I wanted to watch it just to see how bad could this be. And within that movie, the entire thing, which I'll just wrap up in 45 seconds, is... they try to give too much explanation of everything, of the name Predator. I'm not going to even explain it because it's annoying, but they explain why it wouldn't be this because it should be that. It's like they're almost mocking the Predator's name from the 80s, and it's an underlying thing that they do in it. And also within that, you find out why he's really grabbing the skulls with the spine. There's another reason behind that. It's like, I hated it.
Telling you,
if you... And then, not to mention,
did you guys see it?
I did, but I
see Nathan. So you see what I mean? Isn't that annoying? It's like how they're mocking why the name Predator is, and this is why he gets the spines. It's like go back and fucking have a movie be a movie, and that's it. Enjoy. We didn't need to see that when we seen the original Predator. You don't wonder. I wonder what the real reason is he's getting that spine. I wonder, is the name Predator, does that really make sense? You know, let's find out what everything where he came from. No, it's a fucking. You guys are driving in the jungle. There's this creature. You don't know what the fuck's going on that you're fighting. Less is more, and it worked perfect. They tried to explain every goddamn thing in
this
movie,
and I blame Shane Black
sucked.
For that too, Mister.
Terrible.
I was the original Predator. I'm like, you know what? You may have written a couple of good scripts in your time, but you got no business directing something like this.
Was it annoying? It's like a slap in the face. It really, they did. They slap in the face to the original and the fans.
I, I fell asleep the last, like, I missed the last 45 minutes. Emily stayed awake.
You didn't miss none.
Well, she started to explain it, and then, like, I'm like, well, did they do this and that? She's like, actually, she's like, yeah. How did you know? I'm like, I don't know. I just seemed like what I saw, it just seemed that's where the plot was going and everything. So I filled in.
Yeah. Fucking
and we took it back. But the one thing that was stupid. And
the one thing?
Well, the main thing to me that's stupid is the reason that this is caught, like, all sort of happening to begin with is the kid. The kid puts the helmet on. And they work in the thing where, yeah, the kid's autistic. And I'm like, did we really need that in this? Like, honestly, why are we doing that? Is this to cater to something? Like, what was the point of this? So the autistic kid ends up having, like, the superior DNA that the predator wants. And I remember catching the tail end of it. Joe, you can correct me on this, but the main lead guy who sucks, he's not charismatic at all, and his
line sucks.
Yeah, his delivery was terrible. But there's like a new, it's kind of like a predator.
It's like a
Super
Iron
Hulk
Man
predator.
Suit,
yeah,
like
yeah.
A predator.
And he's like, oh, that's mine. And then it's like credits. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, that's
that?
Yeah. So, I didn't get it, but yeah, I'm sure that the movie probably didn't perform like they wanted. So
no,
let's just hope
it was
no...
a flop. And rightfully so. And that's what, I mean, you know what? If this, and that's why I'm always against the new He-Man movie. If this is what you guys have to bring in terms of, like, carrying on a great idea and franchise, and this is all you guys want to throw at us, don't bother.
So let's just say him saying that at the end when he was talking about this suit's mine, don't worry, you're not going to see it because they ain't going to make another one.
I don't know, man. I there's part of me that feels like, all right, well, let's go. The other thing in the movie, too, is just over a period of time, these characters are starting to use, like, predator technology. And it's just, what? It just doesn't. Fuck. Yeah, it was bad. Not good.
It was bad. Yeah. So I didn't mean to do the quick side ramp, but goddamn, that was.
No,
we had to.
I'm all for people slamming that film because I listened to an actual, like, full on, like, detail by detail review of the film when it came out.
That was bad.
So I knew all that stuff before you guys ever saw it. I'm like, oh my God. And I knew the guy wasn't just making it up or exaggerating. Like, that's what's actually in this film. I'm like, there's no way in hell. I don't care if there's I don't care. Gunpoint, whatever. Pull that trigger because I'm not watching that film. You know, and it just really hurts my feelings a lot to think that that's what Fox, this is what they're doing to carry on. They've done it to Alien. They're doing it again to Predator. You know, you just kind of feel like, when does it ever stop? And you got, and all those morons sitting at the head of the table, studio execs, like, well, people just don't like these films. Put them back in the can. We'll bring it back in another 20 years or so, or something like that.
Yeah, I honestly, I feel like the franchise that has suffered the most from this is Terminator.
Oh my God!
Without a doubt.
Oh, why'd you bring that up? That's gonna be another doozy.
I had to. I mean, part three is just that it that was
sucked.
The beginning,
God.
And then.
Salvation.
Salvation.
I was done after two. Two was like, it's just one and two. That's it for me.
That's
all the rest, they could just keep them. They're just like, that's it. It's over.
But here's what's going to happen now. Because I know that they're still, I think, what they're doing a new TV series for it. When that inevitably flops, here's what I'm thinking. When James Cameron finally pulls his head out of his ass and he's like, I'm not, like, Avatar.
I got to make 11 sequels to Avatar.
When he's done with that, or, you know, his Titanic shit and everything, I feel like there's going to be a point in time he's like, all right, I'm going to come back and do Terminator. And then they're just going to throw all the money at him because they're gonna be like, oh, he's got all these amazing ideas, and that'll probably suck too. So, fuck, man. Look at the film we're talking about today. They remade it, and why? What was the point? That was bad.
It was universally panned just when they announced they were doing. I mean, it was like, you know, I won't say it was as big as the Ghostbusters announcement, like the backlash for that when that was announced, but Robocop was unanimously heavily disliked when they said they were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I there was no way I was going to see it. I can't remember if Nathan said he actually saw it or not.
I think I watched about half of it when it was on, Prime Video to stream. They had it on there for a little bit, and I checked it out. And it's basically just following the first film beat for beat. I mean, there's a little bit of like
do a little twist here and there, but it was nothing.
But I would say that is way better than The Predator.
Oh man!
If I was to say one was I understand.
In my head, I would be like, "All right, I'll watch RoboCop remake again. I don't want to watch The Predator ever.
Never want to watch that Predator again. That was bad. But did you want to get back to? We can get back to RoboCop now, because
I'm gonna ask you guys too, because one of the biggest things about this that we've all mentioned several times is the violence. And I, it's always bothered me that, you know, content like that in sexual content, and that's why it's a shame that Paul Verhoeven doesn't work in American films anymore. After, I think, Hollow Man was his last theatrical release. He did it here in the States, which was another flop. But I felt like, you know, the kind of films he wants to make, you know, I embrace his mindset because of where he comes from. Like, sex is not an offensive or taboo thing. Where he comes from, and he doesn't look at violence as this. Violence is real. Violence happens. It happens it's happened in our history. It's currently happening now. And to pretend like a gunshot wound doesn't look like this, as opposed to what you'd see on, you know, primetime NBC special, you know, I like that mentality. I feel like is just not embraced enough. And occasionally you get a film like John Wick that comes through and doesn't shy away from the violence. You get a pencil knife smashed inside of a guy's ear or something like that. But I think overall, like, I just hate that a director as fine as Paul Verhoeven, who did Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Starship Troopers, Showgirls, that's like a glorified girl in gold boots. People who like Mr. Science didn't know what I'm talking about. It's not as bad as everyone says. Plus, seeing Jesse Spano naked, too. Who the hell can argue that?
Yeah, but I don't want to see, what's his face?
Kyle MacLachlan's ass.
Yeah, I don't want to see Kyle MacLachlan's ass. That was
Nathan telling me that story too. It was just like
you know, she's in the pool and she's naked and like, you know, hard dingers are starting to happen, but then it pans to that shot where she's like in the pool and you see her from a distance, and then there's Kyle, what's his name again?
Kyle MacLachlan's ass.
Yes. Kyle MacLachlan's pasty white ass just right there in frame, and I'm like, no, hey man, I don't want to see that.
When Nathan described it to me, he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, no. It was just, you had to have been there because Nathan was like, he was in the moment of reliving, watching, seeing Kyle's ass, you know.
Well, I mean, I mean, you're getting into it. And as a healthy, thriving teenager, enraged, like bursting through puberty, you know, I'm watching that film for purposes that, you know, I want to do some stuff.
He was endorsing, you know, a lot of Lubriderm CQ back then.
Yeah. I want to play with myself a little bit. And then
he just comes out and just says, I'm trying to go along with masquerading this one-handed gesture here.
Everybody, masturbation's a thing. Everybody does it, I would think.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
Yeah. You'll go blind. You'll get hair on your palms.
Hair on your palms.
But yeah, you know, I'm getting into it. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be good. And then his ass walks in the frame, and, you know, he's just like, no.
I've lost it.
I don't even know what to say. What the hell is happening to this podcast? Yeah,
whatever. We got to talk about it. Because it's experiences.
Let's talk about Directive 4. Let's talk about Directive 4. He's ready to sit there, and he's going to arrest Dick Jones.
I was talking about Paul Verhoeven, and then that's how we ended up talking about
Kyle's
ass. How
do we go from me playing with myself to Directive 4, Joe?
Because I got to quit thinking about this. Jesus, God, this has went down the shitter.
I was trying to make a point, though, that I think it's a shame that the content that's in this film and all the Paul Verhoeven movies is not embraced, or studios are just so antsy about releasing a hard R film that's got heavy sex scenes or heavy violence that are, you know, unless it's a historic film like a Saving Ryan's Privates or something like that, it can't just be a straight up action film that's got heavy special effects of blood and gun violence and limbs being blown off, and you also see a lot of, you know, bare breasts.
They look at it from a standpoint of, I guess if it's rated R, it won't make as much money, and that's honestly that's not the case. If it's a good film, people will go see it.
Yeah,
but also at the same time, if they're worried about violence, like, that's why the rating system is there.
Yes,
you know. So it's not like, I mean, in some cases it'll work. I've seen, when we saw Piranha, there's like what, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old there with their dad and the mom.
When we saw It, the remake of It, we had like a family and their children.
Yeah, that little kid every time. And his sister's just laughing at him. That was funny.
I went to the days when the Arnold movie where we fight the devil. And we saw a family and their two little kids. And we knew going into it, like, my dad went to go see it beforehand so he could tell us, like, when to, like, close their eyes, like, during, like, the explicit sex scenes.
Wait. You had to close your eyes when you went and saw End of Days?
Just kind of not look. At this point, Dad was willing to take us to go see because he knew we were Arnold fans. But he said, look, there's a big sex scene in the movie. Just turn away from it, and I'll tell you
what. But, dude, you were, like, 16.
I was in ninth grade at the time.
All right, so you're 14 or 15.
Well, like I said, at the time, you can't get into an R-rated film by yourself at that time.
I know that, but for your dad to let you in there.
At that point, I just wanted to see
it. Here's the honors of Tyler, turn your head.
You know, and you're going
to
need
to turn your head about five. I don't know. That just seems kind of weird to be in a theater with my dad at age 14 and I can't look at titties.
Well, my brother was there too, so you kind of have to. Joey, all right.
I had to step off the side to get a drink for a second, but yeah, that part killed me. I was like, oh, shit.
You had to bend to these roles to see stuff, you know, and
I never had to do that.
Well, of course you didn't have to do that, but you know what? I didn't have the luxury of that. I could watch see, that's the thing, and that was what always, and I've said it before, my parents were so inconsistent about what you can and can't see in films, you know, and that was just, I was just so thankful I got to see it in theaters, but I saw a family with two real little kids, like a boy and a girl sitting in the front of the theater getting ready to watch a movie about Arnold battling the devil, and there was going to be sex scenes, sacrifice scenes and stuff. And I just thought, that's all I could think of, was those two little kids sitting in the front of the theater with their parents thinking they're going to go watch a wholesome Arnold film because they think like they're going to see Kindergarten Cop or
Twins. I don't know, with a title called End of Days. You know, you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, I was so shocked about that because I felt like, it's not a traditional Arnold film. It's still not a traditional Arnold film, but
Directive 4.
Yes, Joe, get your rant in about Directive 4.
Oh, I didn't know if you were. No, I can't see. So
you know,
I didn't know.
At this point, Nathan, I'm like, point. You know, I can't carry on my soapbox discussion here when you guys are making fun of the way I was brought up.
Oh, that's not right.
No. Both of you can go to hell and eat fossilized dog turds on the sidewalk with little Debbie cakes.
I just remember that whole Directive 4. I remember when he tried to arrest him and couldn't, and that contorting, like, what? You know, like, I remember the first time seeing, like, oh, shit, what is he going to do? They put this little directive in there so they can't, you know, arrest any of those OCP, or, no, I'm sorry, any of those
PCO, right? PCO employees, Joe?
No, yeah.
No, OCP, but no, I was trying to...
When he was questioning himself, OCP, no, wait, I'm like, just trying to deliberately throw him off.
Yeah, because it happens quickly with me. You know me. It's like, wait, did I screw up a letter?
But you say the right thing a lot. Then you question yourself, like, well, if you're going to do it, that. I might as well have fun with it. So
yeah, and I can see
like,
that.
No,
and
then he said it right, Tyler. I'm like, shut up, Nathan.
So that's what just made it even better at the edge, you know, when he got fired and he's like, thank you, and just shot that fucking guy. Just, it works so good. God, it was just so perfect and just delicious. Just a goddamn good movie. Quick thing is, I want to say something. You're talking about some gross shit. I don't know if Extra was as gross as I thought, but I'm going to have to revisit that movie.
Oh, my God.
The reason is because, you know, you're talking about gross things and going to the movies. I think I might have been, I don't know if I was 6, 7.
I've heard this story twice, so I'm going to sit back and let Nathan hear it.
That'll be just quick. That was the first movie I went with my girlfriend.
Not,
I was 7.
With you, Joe.
I was 7. She was 6, and her dad took us to go see that movie. That was the first movie I seen with my girlfriend.
Dude, that's honestly, like, I thought having a girlfriend at the age of 9 was kind of young. For you to be 7?
Yes, and that was the first movie we went to see, and it was so gross. I remember the screen, it was almost where I was down towards the front, so I had to look way up. But, you know, I just remember, just like you said, God, going to see movies that are gross or if there's nudity, it's like, I guess I've always seen that. And, yeah, that was the first date movie. How about that, Extra? So I'm going to have to try to revisit and see if it was as gross as I thought.
Man, see, that's cool, though, that you went to see that on a date. Most of my date movies around that time was like,
Dude, Where's My Car?
Dude, Where's My Car? Free Willy 2.
Did you have to endure Titanic with any of your girlfriends? Any of that?
No, that was all on VHS when that.
Yeah, my little brother dragged me to go see Titanic.
Oh, God. I'm glad I've never seen that movie. I can proudly say I've never seen it, never will.
Keep it like that.
Good. Yep. Never seen it. Don't want to. It's like this movie, just the previous, like that has no appeal for me, so I don't care. So, yeah. So,
something about Mary. That was another date movie.
Ugh. That was a good movie. I liked that.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
It had like Keith David. I liked it. Other than that, I just thought it was so. When that movie came out, it, like you couldn't get away from like they were almost like jerking themselves off about how funny this movie is. You know, and when I found this, I'm like, this movie isn't funny at all. Why is everyone so excited about this?
Because,
movie?
Man, a jizz is a hair gel.
That has to be a t-shirt. When you guys are talking about t-shirts, that could be one Tyler, like, having that face up in the air, making, you know, that goofy smile, going, hardy hor har underneath, because he's always like, it's a knee slapper.
Well, get on it, Joe. You're the one with the t-shirt show.
Yeah, you got all those ideas. What the hell are you doing sitting around playing bowling for 6 hours?
Yeah, I wish I knew how to draw. That's one thing I can't do
too
well.
What about all those things you like take pictures of Lizard Man? Like, I had to do this. I had to do that. Like, you know how to do it. You're just not motivated. Is it because you're not being paid?
Well, out of my head directly, it's like I can't draw. But if I look at images, I can like draw and do different poses of things.
So you can steal other people's artwork and pass it off as your own. Simply brilliant.
No, not really like that. I mean, I can, if I see an image, I can then draw myself and slightly do different poses. But if I was just to draw out of my head, I suck. I just can't draw out of my head. So that Lizard Man, as you know, Lizard Man has never been in the I Have the Power pose. So I had to completely draw Lizard Man by looking at He-Man and Lizard Man. And I created that. So I was proud of that. Sorry. Another side rant. Go back
to the
movie.
But the point is, we have all this, of course, you know, we can't really promote the podcast and market to us when the person who does it is just,
I got a bad memory. I'm going to promote. I promise. I'll be promoting this one.
Bad memory.
Later today, I'll promote it. I promise.
Oh, we know your memory's there. The memory says, I don't give a shit.
It's a selective memory. Oh, shit. Well, Nathan, how did you want to wrap it up or any final thoughts before we do wrap it up and give our ratings? Because I already know what we're going to give it.
RoboCop, simply put, Tyler said it best. One of my favorite films of all time. It's a classic. It needs to be preserved, as Tyler said, if it's not already. Awesome villains. A little bit of a twist. It's like, oh, it turns out he's a bad guy. He's got Clarence under his thumb. That was a nice touch.
And that doesn't feel forced. It feels like,
yeah. And at the end, when he gets fired, Directive 4 no longer applies to him. It's a shame that, even though like RoboCop is great and we won't waste time on RoboCop 3, it's just a shame that, maybe honestly it is for the best. Remake aside, they haven't continuously come back to the well with this one like they've done with Terminator and Alien and now Predator, unfortunately.
I will say, like, you know, to touch on what Nathan said right now, like at least with Predator, we got Predator 2. With Aliens, we got Aliens, and some people don't like Alien 3. I love Alien 3. We got Terminator 2 to Terminator. So these franchises in RoboCop, we got RoboCop 2. Yeah. So I kind of feel like with these big franchises, they've all had solid one solid sequel. Whether you like the rest or not is up for debate. Because Alien 3, I love to death. I get why people don't like it. But I would argue that it's a great film. But Terminator 3 sucks. RoboCop 3 sucks. Terminator 3 sucks even more. But it is a shame that they... It shouldn't be this hard, like Nathan said. It really shouldn't be this difficult.
It shouldn't.
And yet they just keep going as far away from what worked in those films that did work. You know, and no one's going to take the blame for it except the director and the people who were actually seen on screen.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Tyler has a tendency to do, he'll blame the actors for it.
No, not always, but I do blame the fact like people like Will Ferrell, who's just like he's cast because he can run around with no shirt on, and it's just brilliant. How does he do it? You know, Mark Wahlberg plays to play the I'm from the streets guy. He sucks at it. You know, it's just what they do. You know, and Chris Pratt plays an asshole.
You know? I thought we were going to go 1 week without mentioning his name, and he just happened. I was like, is he going to say Chris Pratt? He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He did it like son of a bitch.
I didn't do it last week or the week before.
No, I mean, not just you, but I think Nathan likes digging. So I was like, Nathan hasn't poked Tyler this time, so there might not be a Chris Pratt name drop.
Even when, like, you know, I mean, how many times, I mean, it's just monotonous. It's not fun to bring it up all the time. And then and I'm sure even for, you know, I can't get roused up every time someone, like, even if it's a listener, like, hey, what about Chris Pratt? I'm like, I'm not gonna dance for you. Like, it's not. It has to. It's just, you know,
dance puppets. Dance.
Yeah, it's just.
That's why I eventually look for other ways. Like, you know, out of our '80s action stars, Arnold is the beefcake to Stallone's Hogan.
God, I'm gonna kill you when I see you next time.
See? You gotta change it up, but. This is easy. If it's in one of my favorite films of all time, 5 stars. No questions asked.
Five stars here, too.
Tyler gives it a 2.5.
I give it a 6.
Oh, all right. You're going to be a Meltzer. You're going to break your own. We're going to break the star rating system. Omega and Okada, 6 stars. I'm breaking it.
I'm just saying, because it's absolute perfection. It's a flawless film. It really is.
And it's only 1 hour and 43 minutes long.
A testament too for these idiots who think they got to release 3-hour films now, and you got films like this, the first Turtles film, Ghostbusters, Predator, all under the 2-hour mark. Tell you a tightly packed,
hell, even film. Barely over the 90-minute mark in some cases.
Yes, and yet it's got to be 4 hours, 3 hours of just nothing but shitty jokes and bad dialogue, and you know it'd be great, make lots of money. Like, no, you people don't get it. You know,
just because it's long doesn't mean it's good.
Exactly.
Same applies to dicks.
Are you talking about Kyle MacLachlan there?
No. It's going to haunt me in my dreams.
As why Nathan has never seen Dune.
Yeah. Dune honestly just never appealed to me anyway.
Me neither. Yeah.
I saw it, I'm just like, eh. Like, if I had to sit down and watch it, I would, but...
I was fascinated by, like, the paintings I would see of, like, the sandworm creature that's in the film. You see, like, a really cool paintings of the sandworm, and I thought, that looks really cool, but I have no interest in actually seeing the movie, though.
Right.
But if I want to watch the sandworm, I'll watch Beetlejuice.
Yeah, there we go. 5 stars all around. Anyone have any closing thoughts before I go into...
Did you guys ever watch the cartoon, real quick?
RoboCop?
Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah. I don't remember it that well, but yeah, I do.
We'll have to do that on Capes and Commentaries, dude.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And yeah. As far as the action figures, I had the RoboCop with like the
cat firing, like the basic looking RoboCop that looks like the movie. Yeah, that's the one I had too.
Yeah, and I had the police vehicle. Car. Yeah,
yeah,
and I had one of the villains. Like he had spiked. I want to say it was
spiked blonde hair.
Yeah,
Chainsaw.
I think
that was Chainsaw.
And his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game's called The Vandal, which is featured in the first episode of the cartoon, which the cartoon does. I mean, Ed 209's in it. Dr. McNamara looks more like Clarence Boddicker, but they have reference to Clarence Boddicker in the opening sequence of the show and everything, too. So it's.
Yeah. We'll do that for Capes and Commentary. Yeah.
Joe, did you do recollection, or were you picking up chicks and stealing their stuff in the bathroom at the time?
Yeah, basically. No, I never seen the cartoon. The only thing of RoboCops that I had merchandise-wise was RoboCop 3 for Nintendo, which...
what about the first RoboCop? You had RoboCop 3, but not the first one?
I know it sounds bizarre, but I think RoboCop 3, I got it somewhere like super cheap, and it's a very quick game. It's not like a complete stinker. It doesn't suck. It's just, it's too damn quick, and I mean that for anybody. I'm not doing the, oh, Joe's so good. No, it's just, it's too quick. You could have that game done in less than probably 16 minutes. And then I got RoboCop versus Terminator on Genesis, which is just bloody and gory and just an awesome game. But
superior to the Super Nintendo version, by far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, it plays much better. I mean, it's so much... it's talking about blood, loving the blood. It's a lot of blood compared to nothing. And the Super Nintendo one just played really funky, looked funky, and just meh. But, yeah, I just had those two games, so I never seen the cartoon. I never had any of the toys. But, yeah, that was it. That's my only merchandise for anything RoboCop related or two games. I still got them, too. I still have them both.
Dynamite.
Dynamite.
And I remember the arcade game.
Yeah, I've never seen that at Pizza Hut. The actual like from the first movie. That was awesome to play. Oh man, so cool.
Data
East. It was hard as hell. Yeah, from Data East.
Or Data East, if you know Data.
It all
tomato.
Yeah, amato.
Yeah, I heard that in school all the time. Tomato, amato, nonstop. Like, here we go.
That and Joe, and no wonder Joe, you know, hides his face in right. He doesn't.
No wonder Joe was going around choking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, my name, it's easy to rhyme with so much shit, so, but, Yeah, so no, I had no final thoughts. But when you do remind everybody about that ringing the bell, tell them what the benefits is if we can get up to 100 subscribers, especially when they subscribe.
What like, will what you is... get in the mail if we get up to 100 subscribers? Tell them what they'll get there.
Nate. You'll get a personalized 8x10 of Joe Amato eating a burrito. Signed by me.
It's black and white off a cheap printer, too, so it won't be the highest quality, but, you know.
Yeah, and it might have some lines in it because the ink's,
yeah.
The ink's about gone. Yeah.
Pretty much.
But the importance of subscribing and ringing the bell is one, you get notified when we go live for podcast Capes and Commentaries and Beyond Retro, but you also get notified when I go live for Beyond Retro Arcade at 4:30 in the morning. So definitely if that alert makes a noise on your phone, you might want to find a way to change it to something else or maybe
but also, when you said we get to 100 subscribers, it gives us your own IP address on YouTube. No, but doesn't that mean you could stream other places?
It gives you the custom URL. So, example, when we're doing the closing on Fans of Power, we can say, hey, check out Beyond Retro at youtube.com/Beyond Retro Podcast. And it's just easier. It's easier for people to type in and everything. The other benefit is once we do hit 100, it opens up other avenues of ways I can stream. So I'll be able to stream on mobile. Like I can have my phone, I believe. There's some weird things I need to look into, but it definitely, once we hit that, it sort of...
So a lot more benefits of streaming than other places do stuff.
A lot more, yeah. It'll open up opportunities to like try some new things out. And
yeah, so that's why he really does encourage you to really hit the subscribe button, or if you have friends that you know have just watched us or new to it, make sure they hit subscribe because it just opens up the doors to a lot more things.
We are 9 away. We are 91 right now, so we just 9 from 100. So you
and
guys
Tyler can live stream if we're right. You and Tyler can live stream if like you go to some of those Mad Monsters or conventions and stuff.
I think we can start like doing something.
If we come out of a really bad movie,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, see, exactly. You going in, your thoughts of it, and then your looks coming out when you come out of the damn movie because you know you can't stream during the movie, but that could be some.
I don't know,
this day and
age, it looks like it's encouraged to stream live during the movie now.
Yeah.
But
we get to that point, it'll open up new things, and we'll try some new stuff for the channel. So if you guys are coming across this and you are not subscribed, hit that button, ring that bell. That way you get notified. Check out all the links down below. All the audio downloads, we got the Podbean and iTunes. Joe's got his scarf on his head, so he's ready to go. I also want to encourage you guys that are joining us from Podbean, you guys that download us on there and have us on iTunes, hop on over to the YouTube channel. Give that subscribe so we can get to 100 and bring you guys some different content. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Joe Amato, Tyler Baker, and myself. There you go. I'm including myself officially in that. Buy Joe's t-shirts. Hit him up for one of those customs. Just tell him you want a Smurf or something.
Yeah, because he's never done it before. So he's just aching to get his hands on the Smurf figure and customize it to, you know, hefty at arms or...
Preda Smurf. I can do a Preda Smurf for everybody.
God.
Like our Facebook.
That actually does sound kind of cool.
Now you got them thinking about it. Like our Facebook page, like this video, leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on RoboCop and its sequels. And, you know, Kyle MacLachlan's ass and Showgirls.
Robo Smurf. I like that. Robo Smurf. I could do him God. Too. God damn, but there's a whole thing, a bunch of ideas now.
Did you just come across like a really cheap ass big box at a dump flea market of like Smurf figures that nobody wanted? And that's like, how the hell is you got so many Smurfs to customize?
I got a lot of Smurfs. I do. I really do. But I think I'm gonna have to make a Robo and Preda Smurf now.
Why don't you just make a RoboCop California Raisin? That would be cooler.
You pay me, I'll do it. You if you want me to do something, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll
send you a coupon. He'll send you like McBucks, like some old like you know discontinued McBucks gift coupons.
I'll send you some McBucks and I'll get more cookies or something.
I got $50 worth of McDonald's coupons.
Also, if you had like those boxes of McDonald's cookies they used to sell at like behind the counter, like they had like the dispensers of like chocolate chip cookies. And
I love
like
those.
Grimace
I love
or various characters on those boxes of cookies.
Those chocolate chip cookies were the best. Damn, I remember them.
Yeah.
Now they got these like, baked ass ones. Fuck them.
Yeah, I miss the days of those hard ass like cheap. You can tell they were cheap cookies too because they
tasted good. Fuck them.
Oh, of
good,
course, goddamn. From your standards.
Well, just throw them in the microwave. Hey, just throw them in the microwave a little bit and soften them up.
I didn't think about that at the time. Yeah, I just like I expected freshness when I opened the box. I shouldn't feel like I had to go and like put them in the microwave.
I might go get some Famous Amos ones. I have those at Dollar Tree. These little boxes of Famous Amos little hard cookies. I'm gonna go get some of them. Those are great. I'll do that when we're done here.
Yeah, Joe,
do you have like an MVP card at Dollar Tree? You
know, I should.
They don't have a rewards program. I don't think they have this.
I guess like
it's like how much cheaper? Could you imagine you go in there like how much fucking cheaper do you want this shit, Joe? I mean, are you expecting to pay a nickel? It's like if I would, I could. God damn it! Yeah, earning reward points at Dollar Tree. Give us your rewards.
Oh no, I think Joe would just like to write like IOUs, like just like in Dumb and Dumber. It's like a red marker. Just write it on a piece of paper. IOU.
That's as good as money.
Yeah,
that's as good.
Yeah, and I imagine that's about as cheap as Joe wants to get. Just hanging a piece of paper with an IOU written on there, and he just walks out of the store with a bag of burritos.
God damn.
Oh my God. I'll also say too, because some more people had popped in the chat, so I'll give them a shout out real quick. Iceman Traveler, Jake Juggalo, Delva78. I think I got JSP because we sort of mentioned him earlier. Chris Chambers. I haven't talked to him in forever. Hope you're doing all right, man. And yeah. Along with Yanish and Grim too. So thank you guys for turning out live for this. Been a blast, and Joe and his dollar.
I'll watch it on the rerun. I didn't see nothing, so I didn't see anything that was going on.
Yeah.
And leave the chat open, too, so I can see the chat.
Yes, I will. Going forward, I will leave the live chat there so we can. It'll be there for everyone to see the specific moment when Grim 2 said, chop dicks, Joe strangling people, Nathan wanking. This has indeed become quite weird.
And that's all on you guys.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that.
I was like, I'm the innocent guy.
That's true. Tyler didn't have anything weird in this episode.
No.
Jake Juggalo says Famous Anus?
No, Amos with an M as in Michael. Famous Amos. Yeah.
All right.
That would be like a great like knockoff like cookie. You might like see like in a porn shop, you know, Famous Anus cookies. You know?
Oh, yeah. And the cookies are like molded into like the shapes of
like porn shit stars, on a cookie or something.
No, it's like molded in the shape of porn star's assholes.
Yeah, kind of like Hershey Kisses and those like cookies. It's like shaped like an asshole right there.
Famous Anus cookies. Eat them fast.
Joe's face is like on every box of Famous Anus cookies, you know? They're cheap, you know? Just
you hold them like that. It says something like, you know, eat them fast because they smell like ass. So, like, there you go.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because it melts in your mouth. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Tyler, let's go dig ourselves out of this ice. We didn't even get any snow, really. It was all just sleet. So we gotta
you guys
go.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Well, I think the roads are fine. It's just like, you know, the driveway I got to get out of. So I'm going to go dig myself out of there. Joe's going to go eat some ass at Dollar Tree. And
And
until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Thanks again, everybody.